Hello and welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I bring you a new episode where I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons that they've learned along the way. I love, love, love interviewing this vast array of moms who share their journeys because everybody's journey and experience are so different, but so many of the emotions and situations that arise are so common among us all. So we can truly learn from one another. And the more that we listen to each other's stories and share our own, the more that we can learn and the better moms we can become. So thanks for tuning in. If this is your first time and if you're returning, welcome back. I love having you here every week. So today we're closing out our Maternal Mental Health Month, and I want to thank all of our guests that have been so vulnerable and transparent in sharing their maternal mental health journey. And I think that it is so common to be experiencing some degree of mental health issues after you deliver because your hormones are just so all over the place. But a lot of times it doesn't go talked about or recognized because of, various factors. But I really appreciate when we can be honest with one another and talk about what we're going through because we can learn so much from one another. And so today I'm going to be talking with Morgan Adams, who's going to share her journey, and it's a little bit different than the others. She had a difficult delivery, which has resulted in not only physical pain, but also emotional pain that's come from having a feeling like her body failed her and having to adapt to a new normal as a mom. So I really admire her strength through this adversity, and I know that you're going to get a lot of hope from her story as she continues to fight through the pain every single day. Just a side note that we had some sound quality issues, so I apologize for the variance in sound. The content is so good, I wanted to make sure that you got everything from Morgan's message. Morgan truly is an extraordinary mom. Let's get to it. All right. I am so excited to be talking with Morgan Adams today. Hi, Morgan.
Hi, Jessica.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to talk to you today.
I am really excited to talk to you as well. I was good friends with your sister growing up. We are both from Poway, which is a suburb of San Diego. So many good Poway memories. Love it. And a fun thing about doing this podcast is that I get to reconnect with all of these people from my past who are now extraordinary moms and have these amazing stories to tell. It is so fun.
It seriously sounds so fun.
It is. It is. If you ever want a really awesome job, I recommend that you just like create one for yourself because it's like no one was going to pay me to do this. But if I could just like create this way to talk with all my friends and share their stories, boom.
I know, and so nothing better than that.
I know. Well, awesome. Well, I'm super excited to be talking with you this month. For the whole month of May, we've been doing episodes on maternal mental health, and I feel like it's a really under-talked about topic, and I mean, for anybody that's heard the other episodes so far, I mean, most commonly, people talk about, postpartum depression, sometimes postpartum anxiety, but I mean, there are so many things when your hormones are going so nuts after delivery, and even while you're pregnant. I mean, there's just so many factors that can contribute to mental health issues and physical issues and things like that. So I think it's really important to raise awareness and to be able to talk about these things and normalize them so that other moms don't feel so alone. Don't you agree?
Oh, I agree 100%.
Yeah.
I think this podcast is kind of a genius idea because we need to help each other and support each other. And I really think moms are the biggest asset.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, let's give our listeners a little background on you before we jump into your story of motherhood. And just tell me a little bit about who you are, Morgan.
Okay. Yep, my name's Morgan Adams. And like Jessica said, I grew up in San Diego. And I currently live in San Francisco with my husband and our baby. Well, kind of a baby. He's more like a toddler now. He's like starting to run around.
Yes, those days are so fun and so exciting and yet so exhausting. Once they become mobile, life does not stop. I know those days well. I have a 9-month-old on the verge of that moving around stage. So very fun, very fun. So tell me about the time when you wanted to start your family.
We were married a year before we got pregnant. And then we moved out to San Francisco just before having Cubby. And the pregnancy went really well. I did have a few complications, and I'm also diabetic, which made everything a little bit more complicated because hormones, of course, I could talk about hormones all day.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Hormones make it harder to control your blood sugar, and during pregnancy, there are risks for the baby. So I had to be watched pretty closely in the pregnancy.
Yeah. But overall, you had pretty good health, up until the delivery. And so, did you make it to your due date? Tell me about that.
Okay. Yes, I honestly like kind of miss being pregnant. I felt really good when I was pregnant. I loved just like the feeling of having the excitement too, and the
Yeah.
feeling of the baby in your stomach, and it's just like such an exciting time. It's such a special time. I did have some morning sickness and until I was about 24 weeks. And you know how that is,
Yeah,
probably.
yeah.
It's hard being pregnant, but because of my diabetes, they wanted to induce me early.
Okay.
There are risks. And so he was born 37 weeks and 3 days. The labor was, so I did get induced, and so it was a long process with a lot of interventions. And it was, some of the interventions were helpful, some were not. My body did end up responding well to the induction. However, he was faced sunny side up,
Oh.
and I tried to push him for 4 hours, and they even tried to flip him, and
Wow.
we had to have a C-section because it wasn't, it just it wasn't going to happen
Yeah.
that way. So
Do you remember the feelings you had during that time? You had to be exhausted.
I was so exhausted. It was a lot emotionally and physically.
Yeah.
It was a 4 hour labor, and so honestly, like by the time I even started pushing, I was really tired. I thought I would push for about an hour, So a little bit more about my background. I'm very athletic. Like
Yeah.
I played soccer since I was 3, and I played through high school and even in college, and I ran track as well. And like I ran a marathon without even training. And at the end, seriously, like what the thought that crossed my mind at the finish line, I was like, wow, I want to do a 50 miler. Like I want to do an ultra marathon.
So you're familiar with having endurance.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, and I have like full faith in my body
Yeah.
too. Well, at least I had.
Yeah.
And so this experience really shook me. Like I think it was really hard emotionally because I felt like my body had kind of failed me, And that was really hard. That was a totally new experience, and especially like in relation to like starting a family and having a baby and like something that's so important to me that I feel like, I was the most important thing I can do in this
Yeah.
life to be a mom. So I kind of felt, incapable, and I had poor self-esteem as well after
Really?
that. I did, yes. So jumping ahead, I was on pain meds for the C-section, and I thought I was recovering well. I was kind of like trying to process, and I was replaying like the birth experience a lot in the first few weeks after delivering.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until about 6 weeks after, when I was not taking any pain meds at all, that I realized that something wasn't really right, that I was in a lot of pain still.
Yeah, and by 6 weeks, even with a C-section, that's like the point of like getting clearance to start assuming regular activity.
Yeah, which I mean, I'm still not.
Yeah.
I still
Oh my
don't have
gosh.
clearance to do. Yeah, so it was it was pelvis pain. So my pubic bones, hip bones, tailbone, sit bones, and like lower back. And I went back to my doctors on two different occasions to get help because I couldn't move. Like, I couldn't walk. I couldn't, like, lift Cubby. I mean, I guess I could, but it was so painful.
Yeah.
Like, just normal daily activity stuff, like trying to get clothes in and out of the washer and dryer, you know?
Wow.
So they weren't very helpful. And emotionally, I kind of felt betrayed, and I did feel a little angry, and I felt just kind of like abandoned, like they didn't really care. But after going back again and talking with them, I said, I'm still having a hard time. Like, I'm still thinking about all, I do feel down. I am having flashbacks. I was like reliving
the traumatic birth.
I would wake up and it would be like happening to me again, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. So, wow.
And I mean, and we should say that, like, this is not your typical birth experience. So if you are pregnant right now and you're like, oh my gosh, like, I'm going to get PTSD from delivery. I mean, this is not common. And obviously it's not that common because your doctors didn't even know, like, how to help you, or because they just hadn't seen anything really like this. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, most labor and deliveries do go generally smoothly. So, I mean, there's no reason to fear going forward. But, I mean, just in your personal experience, this was a traumatic life event. And it was not only traumatic emotionally, but physically, you are feeling pain even 16 months after.
Yes.
This is crazy.
So, the first time they said everything like looked good because I was still on the C-section meds. Second time when I went in, they said take ibuprofen, and they said that I could go see the back physical therapist that they have there, but I couldn't get in for about 3 months.
Oh my gosh, so
that would have been 6 months postpartum, Jessica.
Wow.
I couldn't wait. Like, I was desperate, right?
Yeah.
My husband had to go back to work, and I wanted to do my job. I wanted to be a mom.
Right, and so, you wanted to be a mom and just, like, walk down to the park with him in a stroller. Like, you just wanted to do normal, get the laundry out of the dryer. You just wanted to do normal things, and you really couldn't, at least not pain-free.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so previously, you were an athlete, you were capable, you know, both mentally and physically. And this just kind of rocked your world. And tell me about how you, like, viewed yourself after going through this and now having residual pain and trying to, like, adapt to this new normal.
It was so much turmoil, really.
Yeah.
It was so much turmoil with not only, like, myself and my relationship with other people, too, because I was struggling to understand what I was going through. So you can imagine how it felt to, like, try to, like, relay this to other people and get the right, like, support and advice even.
Right.
You know, because no one I knew had anything like this.
Right. No one could identify.
My mom.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and all of your sisters had babies and everything. And so it's like, normally you'd go to them and say, oh, what are you doing if you can't get your baby to sleep through the night? What are you doing if your baby is doing this? But this is like uncharted territory that you're having to navigate.
Yeah.
That is so isolating.
Yeah, that's the right word. I felt pretty alone.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Like, I felt totally alone. I needed to find the help that I needed to find the right people. And so I've worked so hard
past
13 months to get back to full health. I'm still not there, but I do believe I will get there. I do believe that we will have another baby.
Yeah.
But there have been so many days where I felt like hopeless about that. Hopeless about that. You know, I was going to be able to recover and be happy and be able, physically capable of taking care of my baby, let alone having another baby, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be so much fear going forward. So you were diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, right?
Yes, I was at 9 weeks postpartum.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a very serious thing that most people don't even know can happen to a woman postpartum and from a delivery. And going forward, I'm sure, I mean, if you were reliving the birth again and again from Cubby, I can't imagine being ready and willing to go through, like, to risk going through that same thing again. Not that you will, but that's got to be a fear.
It is a fear. It's like a constant fear.
Yeah.
I have to kind of take it day by day. And
yeah.
Time right now is just everything to
me.
Like, just like giving myself time to heal emotionally and physically. And I do believe that after all this, my capacity will grow, will have grown so much.
Yeah.
It's so not fun. I really wish this didn't happen to me.
Yeah. Oh, you know? Totally. Totally. You
know? Yeah. I really wish that it could have gone smoothly and we could possibly be trying soon, but you know, I'm at a point now where I can see like the positive in it all.
Yeah.
Which sounds kind of hard to believe. I mean, I think becoming a mom is the biggest change we go through, you know, as a woman. And so that in itself is so much change, you know, and then to add on all this, like a lot of times, honestly, it felt like way too much.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like wrong. Like it kind of felt like everything around me was like wrong, like
right. Everything,
you know?
Well, yeah. And you're a person of faith. And so everything up to this point has been like, God only gives you what you can handle, and you've been able to handle a lot so far, and you've always, you know, had him to trust in. And I'm sure when it feels like, okay, I'm going through therapies to try and get this better, but I'm still in pain, and I'm pushing for my third hour to get this baby out, and it's not working. And it just keeps, like, you keep hitting a wall. That had to just kind of, like, rock everything that you believed in previously, not like the existence of God, but like just that faith that you can do hard things.
It did, Jessica. That's so, like, you're so intuitive. You're so amazing.
No, but it's so inspiring to hear people get vulnerable, because it's hard to describe your weakness and everything. But I think now seeing you coming not totally out of it, but to be working through it and to keep believing that it will get better, I think there's such hope and value in sharing that story.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to get on the podcast with you, because I really wish that I would have had someone who could have given me guidance and direction during that time.
Yeah.
Where I was feeling pretty, a lot of things.
Yeah,
pretty just confused, and I felt like, you know, I wasn't normal. And it's hard to open up.
Yeah.
Like, I did open up to people around me, but it was a struggle. And the reason why, I think, is because not only do you, like, want to, you want to be independent, especially as a mom. Like, you're taking care of another human now. You're in charge of that. So you want to be strong for that baby.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that sometimes when you're going through so much, talking to other people makes you feel less normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, talking to other people who aren't necessarily struggling with what you're struggling with kind of makes you feel more, a little crazy and more like what your situation is, like, not right. That's why it's difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think all forms of mental health type issues, whether it's depression or anxiety or bipolar, or in your case, PTSD, which could contribute to some depression and things like that, you don't feel like anyone really understands. And that has got to be so frustrating. You just want you just want somebody to give you a roadmap for how do I get out of this?
I know. That is it's so hard. I remember thinking so much, like, man, I don't know who is understanding. Yeah. I'm having a hard time understanding.
Yeah.
Like, how am I, you know? You need help.
It wasn't even until I was 8 months postpartum that I did start psychotherapy.
Yes. Yeah. So I wanted to know more about what you have done that's been effective in order to help you to get to a better place that you're in right now. So what have you been doing?
So I realized after 8 months that I wasn't getting where I needed to, physically or emotionally, and I needed more help. And I had a friend who had seen this psychotherapist who kind of specializes with like postpartum issues and traumatic birth. And so she was a really helpful friend, actually. She was actually the one who told me about a pelvic floor physical therapist as well. I started pelvic floor physical therapy 4 months postpartum. I went to a postpartum trainer 3 months postpartum. And then by 8 months, I saw a psychotherapist. And it's so important to have an appropriate time and place to talk about what's going on.
Yes. Yes. And sometimes it's not so much about just getting answers from people. It's just having somebody willing to have a sympathetic ear just to listen to you.
It is. My husband and I were talking about this, and he has a good analogy for it.
What's that?
So say I'm having some issues, and I'm like punching a punching bag, and that punching bag is maybe your spouse or someone really close to you.
Yeah.
And that person, when you talk to them like that, and or kind of, I guess, send some of this negative energy that you're working through onto that person, they get bruised.
Yeah.
And it's hard for them too, and it's hard for them to be your support too. So I feel like you need someone who is socially removed from you.
Yeah.
To be able to talk with, because it's not going to affect them in the negative way that it would on your spouse or your mom or your friend. I think obviously it's so important to be able to talk with those people, but for like what the intense stuff that I was going through, I needed therapy. I needed someone to help me.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's like, even though your spouse probably wants to be there for you and would do anything to make it better, they don't have all the tools and the understanding to get you better. You know, so they can listen all that you want, but you really need a professional to kind of guide you through this and guide you out of it. Because otherwise, if that's like what's just consuming your household, I can't imagine like the weight. Like, I'm sure it was like a physical weight in your home during that like most intense time. Would you say that?
Absolutely, Jessica.
Yeah, that had to be so hard. Tell me about your ability to bond with little cubby. I mean, you just want that blissful mommy experience. Your first baby, he's so darling. People can go on the website to see a picture of him. I mean, just he's just so cute. And you just want that typical kind of experience. So how was that?
It was just a lot, and I thought it would just go smoother with us, you know, and I had a lot on my plate, and so I feel like I kind of missed out on a lot of just, like, the quiet, peaceful moments that you have with your baby. I mean, Jessica, I don't even remember meeting him. I passed out in my surgery in the C-section, and I have no recollection of meeting my baby.
Ugh. That's heartbreaking.
It's seriously so hard for me. Like, just that in itself has been really hard.
But he knows you now. You know, it's like, yes, there's a loss in that moment and grieving, not remembering that moment. But it's like you have a lifetime to make up for that. You know, and like there's so many other special firsts that are still ahead and that still have happened, you know? Yes. And so you can focus on that instead, even though that's hard, you know?
Yes. And I feel like in a way it's made me appreciate all of the beautiful,
yeah,
good moments with him and good days that we have so much more, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. We can't control what happens postpartum, you know, and you can hope for the best and have a vision for where you think life is going to go. But I mean, you're not assured of anything. So you're not assured that physically your body's going to bounce back. You're not assured that mentally you're going to just be thinking about butterflies and roses and sweet baby smells all day long. You know, like you're not assured that that vision is ever going to come true. And so I think, I mean, what would you suggest for new moms who might be adjusting to a normal that maybe they didn't expect? Hi, Cubby.
<Yeah. laughs> I think hanging in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, waking up every day and doing your best.
Yeah.
Every day and being okay with that best, because it's really a crazy time for some
yeah.
people. For
yeah.
me, it's been the hardest thing I've ever done, the hardest time of my life.
Yeah.
Yet. So beautiful in a lot of ways, but really hard. And recognizing, you know, where you're at and trying to see the progress that you have made, because there is so much hope and there is so much progress. And there's only, when you get to a point like as low, I think, as I did and some of us do, you can only like work upward, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to recognize and be realistic with yourself when things aren't going the way they should. If you're not feeling better physically and mentally every day after, mm-hmm. you know, each day that comes, then something is wrong.
Yeah.
And if I could go back, I would have got more help.
Yeah.
I would have just had family come. I would have, you know, not put pressure on myself to cook meals. I would have just been kinder to myself and my body and patient with myself. And I would have gotten to a therapist earlier. I think I should have got to a therapist right away.
Yeah.
Really. I think I could have prevented it from being so chronic if I had just kind of humbled myself and realized and accepted that I needed help.
Yeah, and I think the irony is that if you had a best friend who was telling you that they were going through this situation, think of the love and grace that you would offer to them, like, oh my gosh, you should be getting help. Let me take your baby for a little while so you can rest while you go to therapy. I mean, you would bend over backwards trying to help. And, you know, we do not often give ourselves that same grace and willingness to ask for help or even just lower our expectations for what we're able to do in a certain season of our life.
Wow, that couldn't be more true.
And I don't know. And I mean, I'm preaching to the choir. Like, I'm the same way. I mean, I am the first person to say, like, if somebody tells me, oh, we had cereal again for dinner, I'd be like, you go, girl. Like, so your kids ate. That's great. Like, I'm the last person to judge what you're feeding your kids for dinner or, you know, a mom's response to a tantrum at the grocery store. But if I am that mom, I'm like, gosh, why can't I just get my act together and serve something besides cereal? Why couldn't I handle that tantrum better? Why couldn't I? But to anybody else, I would be so forgiving. But why can't I be forgiving to myself? And so I love what you said about being kinder to yourself. That is huge. And you have to practice it because it's a bad habit moms have.
It is. Mm-hmm. We're really hard on ourselves. And I have been hard on myself.
Yeah.
I just like to push myself and
yeah.
succeed and like go higher, you know, and accomplish a lot. But this situation, Jessica, it wasn't what got me through it. It was taking time to rest, taking Epsom salt baths, like laying on the couch and resting.
Yeah.
and preparing myself physically and mentally to face the day and face the tasks that shouldn't have been so hard, but they were so hard.
Yeah.
And just taking that time to, it's, there's certain things in life that you don't just like, they don't just get better.
Yeah.
It just takes time and focus. And even I've started meditating.
Mm.
I've started, it's so interesting. I'm getting into things that I never really like thought I would or really believed in, but art right now.
Mm.
I'll bring out art supplies for Cubby and I will do art with him. And
yeah.
It's so therapeutic for me.
Isn't just, that interesting how this challenge that you would never wish upon yourself or anybody else can yield some beautiful fruit? It's like you never would have explored art or meditation or whatever else that you found to be therapeutic for you. But this is the avenue that's gotten you to this place where maybe these will be like the best years of your life doing these things. You never know.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the, you kind of have to choose to think that way. Sometimes you do. Sometimes
yeah.
it's a choice.
Yeah.
You have to choose to believe in something that your mind isn't necessarily telling you, because
yeah.
honestly, my mind wants to keep telling me like, wow, that was a crazy experience. What happened? Like, what is going on
yeah.
with your body? You know, but you have to open your mind, right?
Yeah.
And open yourself to new, I guess, just to a new path, I guess.
Yeah.
To what, to like goodness, what, to help. I don't really know if I'm really.
No, I totally agree. So now here's my question for you. Do you feel like you like yourself more now and the person that you've become through this? Or how do you view the person that you've become since going through this experience? Does that make
yes.
sense?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Getting deep.
I know. Well, yes, I do feel like I like myself more because I know more. And I know myself now, and I know that I could, after this experience, Jessica, I'm like, bring it on.
What
I
can't
do
you
anything.
Do? Yes, yes.
I got in a car accident actually when Cubby was like a year old, and I think that experience could have been pretty emotionally and even physically traumatizing, but it wasn't.
Mm.
I just bounced back really fast.
Yeah.
that was a time during this that I realized, okay, I am stronger, I'm better, I have more wisdom, I have more empathy, I have way more now.
Yeah.
Like, more tools. I know more about the different health practitioners that are available to you. I think it's been a very enlightening experience at the end of the day, like, the end of all this. And I still have progress to make, obviously. I do still have pain, and I do still have some of the struggles. I haven't had, like, a flashback panic attack episode since January.
Wow.
So, that's...
That's progress.
It is, yeah. It is progress. So, I think I now, like, seek to help people. Who,
yeah.
And it's hard. It's really hard to know how to help. That's the thing, is if you are struggling with like a mental illness or a postpartum mental struggle, I think it's really important to try to not resent it and resent the people around you who really are just trying to help.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
because
yeah.
I never in my life felt, I guess, dissatisfied with people around me. Ever in my life. I don't really get irritated or annoyed at all. Like,
You're kind of amazing. You're like the only one.
No, that sounds weird. But
yeah.
I have so much dissatisfaction with like important people in my life that were trying to help.
Yeah.
But they didn't, I felt like they didn't really know what to do. And the truth is probably they didn't. And right. I didn't really know what they could do.
Right.
So just be grateful. That's another thing I've done is have a gratitude journal. Mm. Just, it's so important. That is so important. Not, you don't have to do it every day, even just once a week. I think it's more effective.
Yeah, I think the important thing to remember when you're going through something really challenging is that even in the midst of the trial, it doesn't mean that there aren't going to be pockets of pleasure or pockets of joy during your day. There can still be good in the midst of hard, you know, and yes. you just have to look for it and be grateful for it. And it doesn't mean the trial's done and then you can be grateful again. You can be standing in the middle of the darkest valley and you can look around and your baby can smile at you and you can just cling to that for dear life that you brought this life into the world. And if you have someone dropping off a meal, you can just be so thankful that, you know, don't get down on yourself that you aren't the one making the meal. Be grateful that the meal's coming to you. You yes. know, just look around because there is joy to be found and things to be grateful for, even in the midst of something hard.
Absolutely.
I like that idea of that journal. I think that's a great idea. Wow, Morgan. It's such a hard, it's a hard topic because, I don't know, unless you've been through it, you feel like nobody understands. But the more that we can just kind of talk about it, I do think you can develop more empathy without ever actually having to go through it if you allow people to really open up to you. And so I encourage you, if you're listening, maybe you are a person who is not feeling like themselves, either physically or mentally, and you need help. I encourage you to go seek that help. Or maybe you're a friend of someone who you see is not quite themselves. Allow them just to open up to you and talk. Because sometimes just the verbal dump can really be therapeutic, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's necessary.
Yeah.
It's absolutely necessary.
Yeah. And realize it's a season. And so if you feel like, oh, I don't want to burden anybody else. If you were a best friend, if your best friend heard you say, oh, I don't want to be a burden, they would think you were ridiculous. You know, it's like, this is what I'm here for. Allow your friends and family to be there for you in whatever way that you think might help you best at that moment. You know, you may not exactly know how they can help, but just tell them if you can't think of something because they don't know how to help you until you tell them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it could be just really simple.
Yeah.
A card even, yeah. if that's all you can do, or just sending a meal, like yeah. via another way, or flowers. One time my sister-in-law brought down, she actually lives up above me, and she brought me flowers and a card and said, it will get better.
Oh.
And that changed the course of my day.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, you need people to tell you that. In those situations, you need people to tell you that.
Yep.
You'll get better.
Yep. And when you're in a place where you can't believe that yourself, believe other people. Just believe them. Cling yep. to what they're telling you. I think that
it's
is so
true.
Important.
I think, like, so I never did mention, but a year postpartum, I was diagnosed with a nerve injury. So we finally figured out what was causing the residual pain. Mm-hmm. And I finally got the help and support I needed
yeah.
after a year.
Yeah.
And,
wow.
And I still see them. I'm going in weekly right now. And I really hope by like June, I'm going to be like walking around, even maybe running with Cubby. But it's so important to have those people, as many people as you can, giving you that support.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. It is so critical. And I mean, if you're not taking care of yourself, you can't take care of anyone else well. So invest in yourself, invest in your own mental and physical health, because then you will have the capacity to love and care for others.
I think, honestly, I think that's kind of what an extraordinary mom does, is like, she takes care of herself so she can take care of her kids in a yep. way. Like,
you learn to say no too.
Yeah.
Like you have to say no in order to adjust and recover.
Yep. I heard something really great. When you're saying no to something, you're saying yes to something else. So if you're saying no to an obligation, like, oh, can you help out at church? Or, oh, can you, you know, babysit my child or something? If you say no to that, you're saying yes to your own, you know, rest or your own, you know, physical whatever. And so think about what your priorities are and then say no accordingly. So that you can say yes accordingly.
I like that. I'm going to start saying that.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah. I don't remember where I heard that, but you are so inspiring, Morgan. And I love that you're speaking from a place of not complete healing, but a place of complete hope. And you've made a lot of progress. And I love that you can celebrate the progress that you've made. And you are complete. And that attitude will go so far as you continue your recovery.
Thank you, Jessica.
I do think
it's important for your listeners to hear from someone who's still kind of really going through it because it's more recent in my mind, but I am doing much better now.
Which is great.
And I
hope that your recovery will continue in a positive direction and that ultimately you'll be able to be the mom that you envision, you know, the very capable, hands-on, pain-free mom. And if you're not, that you'll be able to kind of adapt and create a new trajectory for your life that could be even better than what you thought. We don't even realize our potential, you know? It's incredible.
Yeah, I think it's just so important to recognize that maybe what's in front of you is not what you expected, but it could turn out for the better.
Yeah,
I
love that.
I'm not going to stop getting the help that I need, and I'm not going to stop hoping to make a full recovery emotionally and physically until someone tells me to stop.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone will tell me to stop. So.
No, I love that. And I think attitude does go a long way. And belief in yourself.
And I would do it all again.
Yeah.
Just so I could have Gabby.
Yeah. Oh, Morgan, you're so awesome. And I can just tell the love that you have for Cubby and the commitment that you have to being a mom and doing so with joy and with intention. You know, I think that is so important that you can go through something hard, but still, you know, really thrive in your role as a mom. And it might look a little different, but you're doing it. And I love that.
Thank you.
You're amazing.
That's so nice of you. Yeah, I think every single mom is the same. Like, I just think moms are amazing.
I do too.
I'm like, anyone who birthed a baby and is raising a child is amazing.
Well, that is the point of this whole podcast. People are extraordinary. These moms are extraordinary without actually acknowledging that they're extraordinary, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't even know that what you're doing is so amazing. You know, you're not giving yourself that credit. So we need to look ourselves in the mirror and say, you know what? You right there, you are extraordinary. And we need to tell the mom sitting next to us that they're extraordinary because it is so true. If you're doing the best you can, you're extraordinary.
Yeah. We need each other. I agree.
Yep, we totally do. Well, I always ask my guests one final question, and it's this. What would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
Okay, I have some pretty specific things that I would tell my pre-motherhood self, and I would tell other people who are considering even getting pregnant or having a baby.
Yeah.
Prepare your body. I would have, if I knew how my body was going to react, I would have gone and I would have seen a pelvic floor physical therapist beforehand, because there are things they can do to help prepare your body. They can give you the right exercises to do, because not all exercise contributes to a healthy body for pregnancy and delivery.
Yeah.
They can do perineal massage. They can prepare your muscles down there for the greatest, like, biggest athletic event of your life.
For sure. And you don't, like, I didn't even know that's a thing.
I know. I didn't either until I had all this
trauma.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Trauma. Yes.
Yeah.
Everything else has gone well. Yeah. I needed to prepare my body.
Yeah. So. And that's interesting. And that would be helpful for anybody, not just anybody that's like predisposed to having complications or something. I mean, it's in our best interest for everybody to prepare yourself physically as best you can.
Absolutely. And in some countries, it's just part of OBGYN care.
Interesting.
And it's just crucial.
It's a fun journey. It's the hardest journey. Yeah. And I do think being a mom in itself is the most emotional thing. Like, just when everything goes smoothly, it is an emotional job. Yeah. But yeah.
If they're not sad tears, they're happy tears. Either way, exactly, there's tears, right? All the time.
I seriously had that exact thought this morning.
Oh, yeah.
I did.
Yeah, it is so true. It is so true. Yeah. The highest highs and the lowest lows come from motherhood. But you wouldn't want it any different. You know, it's a beautiful journey. And it is such a refining process on yourself.
You know? Absolutely. I think that's beautiful. It's part of what bonds you even more so.
Yeah.
I honestly think that after this, I will have an even stronger connection to like myself as a mother and even Cubby.
Yeah, I totally agree. Morgan, thank you so much for sharing your story and for being so transparent and vulnerable in this topic that's pretty hard to talk about, especially with complete strangers that are listening. But I know that there'll be people listening who are like, oh my gosh, I didn't know anybody else felt like that. Or I had those same experiences. Or, oh, I know somebody that may be experiencing that. And I think this can just be such a helpful conversation.
I think it's so important too, because I think probably most moms have, not obviously the experience that I had, but some thoughts and some challenges and struggles, and we don't talk about it.
Yeah.
That's something that's so... I so badly wish that we could all talk about it more.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree.
And I think your podcast is wonderful, and I totally believe that it's going to be helping a lot of people, and I'm glad that I could be a part of it.
Thank you so much, Morgan. You're the sweetest. Have a great, great day.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Bye.
I want to thank Morgan for being on the show today and for sharing her story. I hope that if you've or someone you know are struggling through a mental health issue, either you're feeling similarly to some of the things that Morgan talked about, or, you know, you're just not feeling like yourself, again, please seek medical attention and talk to your doctor about what some options might be for you. Every person is so different, and mental health issues manifest themselves differently in every single individual. But the most important thing is just to be aware of what is normal for you and what feels out of sorts. And if there's anything that is feeling out of sorts for you, try and get to the root of the problem, because there is help out there. I hope you enjoyed this month dedicated to maternal mental health, and hopefully by talking about it more and more, it will kind of normalize that conversation. And that shame and that stigma will go away, and people will become more comfortable talking about what they're really going through. Because when we are honest with other people, we can get the help we truly need. So thanks for joining us for another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'll see you Friday for our Friday chat. Have a great day.